Law Office.
Hi, is Mr. McLemore in? John C. McLemore?
Yes, your name?
My name is Jeff Fenton.
Okay, just a moment.
John McLemore.
Hi, this is Jeff Fenton. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine.
I see that you are the trustee over my wife's bankruptcy. Would you care for me to give you that number for reference before I say anything else?
Yeah, wait just a second. Let me get to the right.
Okay.
Computer screen. What's the case number?
It's 3:19-BK-02693.
Fenton.
Yeah.
Colin Fenton.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see. Case is still open. Oh, a lot of notices here.
Been an active case.
Yeah.
The question I have is in regards to the marital residence when it was the forced sale of the marital residence. I was equally deeded on that property. However, I was never provided with any notification that she had even filed bankruptcy or that she had even missed a single payment on the house. And it had every penny that I had ever saved or invested in my life invested in that home. And I was wondering how did that work regarding my 14th Amendment right not to have any property seized or to have an opportunity to save any property that I owned without notice and without an opportunity to save that?
Okay, wait just a second. I haven't sold any real estate. I sold the Toyota.
You sold the Toyota?
I sold the Toyota.
Okay. I thought she was able to keep that. Her mom came up with $4,000 or something, and she was able to keep that.
Well, I may have ended up selling it to her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The equity. Yeah, it's equity and a 2017 Toyota.
Yeah, her mom came up with the $4,000. But the trustee that handled it before you, the Henry Edward, when it was in Chapter 13,
Hank Hildebrand.
Hank Hildebrand. Henry Edward Hildebrand. I guess that's Hank Hildebrand. He had effectuated the sale of the property of the marital residence before it got turned into a Chapter 7, and I've tried to reach out to him, and I've gotten voicemail all day today.
You're not going to get him.
I'm not going to get him?
No, you're not going
to
get him.
Okay. So I'm just trying to figure out how she could do all this without me ever even receiving notice, because it just doesn't make any sense. I've even asked her beforehand when I had discovered the bankruptcy accidentally that she was filing, whether or not she had elected to save the house or keep the house or not, and she refused to even answer me. And I asked her if the mortgages were current because I couldn't get any information on that since she had left. She refused to share any information, and since her name was on the mortgages alone, I couldn't contact the creditors and find out anything about whether or not they were being paid. Yet the property was equally mine as hers. It's just the mortgages were in her name, and so I just don't understand how they could have done any of that without notifying me. And even when they ordered the sale of the personal property and the property. That was my personal property that the sheriff's office refused to allow me to take. and then they went to federal court and got an order to sell it anyways, you know, that superseded the $10,000 exemption form for personal property that you were allowed to keep in the state of Tennessee. So it's like they played the book, both federal and state laws against me every which way but loose. I just don't understand how they could, you know, just reading up on the laws, and I've got an appeal that's in place, and I'm trying to figure out how in the world they could sell my home without, or order the sale of it, or that she could default on it and get it in a position where it had to be sold without me ever even being notified that it was at risk.
Okay. Do you know whether it was sold by Henry? I doubt it was sold by Henry, but do you know if it was sold by Henry, or was it foreclosed on?
No, it was sold by Henry. If it was foreclosed on, it was sold by court order of the Williamson County Court.
That's not Henry. Henry's federal.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is Williamson County used the federal bankruptcy as justification for why they were forcing the sale, and then when you turn around and look at the papers for...
Wait. Why would Williamson County sell a piece of real estate unless it was for taxes?
It was pursuant to a divorce.
Okay.
In the divorce order...
The property settlement agreement.
This was all before the divorce. This was all before the divorce was even heard. They went in and did a motion to sell the property and put a...
Whoa. Who's they in that sense?
There was two separate attorneys involved. One, my wife.
Who sold the property?
You
said Henry did, but I know Henry didn't. I'm pretty sure he did.
Well, I've got an order here from the federal court. It says order expediting motion to settle real estate and personal property. And my understanding is that it was ordered to be sold by Williamson County pursuant to the divorce, or pursuant to the bankruptcy before we even got to the divorce.
Something's wrong. Wait just a second. Let me go look at this. Let me go.
Okay.
You're not explaining it.
I'm sorry.
You're not explaining it correctly.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me go.
I'm trying to do my best here.
Okay, now, what was the address? What was the street that the house was on?
1986 Sunnyside Drive, Brentwood.
Huh. I thought Sunnyside Drive was in Franklin. I thought it was off of Hillsborough Road.
Hillsborough Road, right. It's actually outside the city limits, but it's a Brentwood address. It's over there by Grassland.
Really?
Yep.
Because I live not a mile from there, and I'm Franklin.
Huh.
37069.
Yep, we're 27.
Really?
Yep.
That's not something. Okay, so Sunnyside. Let's see, just real quick. There are ways to run searches on the bankruptcy docket.
Yeah, I've got the I've got the paperwork.
The date that the document was executed or filed, whatever.
I have a 9/18/2019 document number 54.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see what we got there.
And I also have a document number 66. That is the order granting expedited motion to sell real estate and personal property. So the first one was the motion, and this is the orders on document 66.
Okay, let's look at 66. Okay, you don't read very well.
What do you mean?
Order granting debtors expedited motion to sell property free and clear of liens. Doesn't say real estate. But it does say Sunnyside Drive, so let's, okay. So let's take a look at the...
It says sell real property located at 1986 Sunnyside Drive.
Okay. Okay. So, the court, that's a motion to sell the whole estate and personal property. Debtor shall be allowed to sell real property located. All net proceeds from the sale of the property shall be deposited into the Chancery Court Clerk's office and placed in an interest-bearing account on behalf of the parties pending further orders of the Chancery Court of Williamson County. I assume that's your divorce action.
Yeah, that was supposed to be.
Okay, so it sounds to me like Williamson County Chancery Court probably authorized the sale. She was in Chapter 11, so they had to go to another layer of courts, and they went to the bankruptcy court and got permission. Let's go back to 54. Is it 54?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the motion for that order.
Let's see what it says here. Debtors moves to sell real property located at 1986 Sunnyside Drive, Brentwood, and personal property remaining in the house at auction pursuant to order granting motion to sell marital residence by auction entered in the Chancery Court for Williamson County. So, Williamson County, the divorce court ordered the sale of the property.
Okay.
And the bankruptcy court gave its blessing to that. So it happened in your divorce. Let's look and see. Okay, Alex Koval filed the motion, but I don't see the notice. But there's a couple of other documents. Let's go to 54B. Okay, this matter came to be heard. Oh, I see. Mike Binkley was the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And that the parties have reached an agreement here. It is therefore ordered, adjudged, and decreed that the parties have reached an agreement to extend the ex parte order of protection pending final hearing in this cause. Husband shall remain under ex parte order and is enjoined and restrained from contacting wife for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
Ex parte order of protection shall remain in full force. Wife likewise is enjoined and restrained from contacting husband.
Yeah.
Motion to sell marital residence by auction is granted. Same shall be auctioned 45 days from this date. And you'll hire a professional auctioneer. That's a good idea. This property shall be advertised as a desperation sell.
I think it says it shall not be advertised as a desperation.
Shall not be advertised. Oh, this property shall not be advertised as a desperation.
Yeah,
sell.
I'm familiar with that document, and I was actually at that hearing. But the everything that they were doing, my understanding was based on the fact that she had filed bankruptcy and had elected in that to dispose of the home and was multiple months behind on the mortgages, which was putting her in a position to either they were going to force the foreclosure or they were trying to get the judge to rule this prior to that, and we hadn't even discussed any of the divorce yet. And I wasn't provided notice of any of this as far as her, you know, for months not paying the mortgages secretly.
Okay, first of all, you said you're at the hearing, and when you start talking about foreclosure, that's something that a lender does. So the lender was putting pressure on.
Right.
And, okay, who represented you in this? Virginia Lee Story, Charles M. Duke?
Duke.
Duke, okay. He signed off on this. So. So we got an authorization for a sale. Let's move quite along. But it still had to be. Okay. So it came as no surprise to you it was going to be sold. You were there at the hearing, and the judge ruled.
I had no opportunity to save it from being lost, and that is supposed to be my right to have an opportunity to save it from
there's you're enjoined from talking to your wife, but you're not enjoined from walking over to the bank.
No, actually, in that same ruling, the court ordered me not to talk to the creditors or anybody else. And since my name wasn't on the mortgages, they wouldn't have talked to me anyway. My name wasn't on any of those loans.
Well, you were represented by counsel.
On that one hearing, and after that, I had to represent myself pro se because I didn't even have the money for that. She had all of our assets were in her name, and a lot of bad debt was actually in my name. And
was the house in your name?
The house was deeded equally to both of us, and I had put down more money on it than she had.
Okay, the house was deeded tenants by the entirety.
Mm-hmm.
Both you and she were owners
of the entire thing, right?
Yes. You both owned the entire thing. You owned the right to own it in the event of the death of the other. Upon the issuance of a divorce decree, you owned a one-half undivided interest.
We didn't. This was before any divorce. Divorce was even talked about at this point. All they did was go after my right to. They tied me up with a fake restraining order that was based on total fabricated lies, and they simultaneously forced the sale of the house to kick me out of there because they've been trying for 2 years to get me out of there legally, and they couldn't do it legally, so that's what they did. And I had renters in there. They forced them to leave, and so there went all the income that I had. That was the only income I had because she was the financial provider. She's a licensed architect, and that was how it had been for a decade. And so I lost everything. I mean, I didn't have the money to hire an attorney. I didn't have the money for anything. She changed all the account passwords. I was locked out of everything instantly.
Well, you're not going to get any sympathy from me here. I mean,
I'm not looking for divorce, and I
can't represent you.
No, I'm not asking you to represent me. I'm trying to understand how she could default on something that I had a financial interest in without notifying me, or how she could.
Okay, well, your analysis of the lending is correct. That is, if you were not signed on the note, then they're not going to talk to you about the financial arrangement. Now, how can she default on a loan that impacts you by not making the payments? Very simple.
Without notification.
Right. And so then there was a public auction. Did you come to the bankruptcy court and object to the sale?
I didn't know anything about there being a sale at the bankruptcy court.
At the bankruptcy court, the sale's in the yard. They,
I was driven off the property. property, removed physically by the police and told not to come back. I was physically removed from my home and wasn't allowed to take any of my personal property with me, and they even got an order, this federal order to sell the items inside my house, which were mine. The court order, they had already stated we already split all of our personal property, so they had an order to sell all of my personal property that was left that I wasn't allowed to take, and again, I was given like 3 days notice and allowed to take just what I could fit in my car between medications, clothing, and toiletries only. No furniture, no nothing. And so I just don't understand how that could be legal with the 14th Amendment protections of not being able to be deprived of property without A, ample notice, and B, an opportunity to save the property. And I was not given ample notice. I mean, I had the one attorney that had 2 days notice to represent me at that hearing, that Mr. Duke, he had 2 or 3 days notice, tried to get an extension, judge wouldn't give it to him, and then they just, boom, forced the sale. And we even offered at that hearing to bring up the arrears. I think she was $10,000 in arrears on the mortgages, and I would borrow the money from my mom. And they said that wouldn't work for some reason because it was so far behind on the mortgages that banks wouldn't accept that. But again, I wasn't given any information or notice that she was so far behind on the mortgages. And I just don't understand how I could lose at 50 years old everything I ever saved in my whole life without having any chance to save it or any notice other than, hey, you're being told now it's going bye-bye, but you got no chance to save it or mitigate your losses.
I don't know the answer to your question either. Let me look.
That just doesn't seem legal. I mean, it's a crime on so many different levels, but it doesn't make any sense.
First of all, you're talking about the Constitution of the United States. Let me assure you that there are well more than 100 years of solid domestic relations statutes in the state of Tennessee, and they're probably close to 150 years of bankruptcy laws, and they govern how real estate is handled. The one thing that I don't seem to be able to find, the bankruptcy court works off of notice. That's the way it works.
Off of notice? And I'm sorry? Is
off
that...
of notice, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if I want to sell a debtor's car, I must give notice to all creditors and parties in interest of my intention to sell that car. If no one objects, I sell the car.
Mm-hmm.
If someone does object, there's a hearing and the judge rules.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no hearing if there's no objection.
Right.
Okay, now, so that's the way bankruptcy works. It has to because of the volume. Okay. But what I don't see in the expedited motion from 918 is the notice where, dadgummit, that irritates me so much. Okay, computers. Okay. Expedited motion. Let's see, this comes from the state court. True and exact copy of the form is sent an email in the first class to Charles M. Duke, Mitch Miller, Virginia Lee Story, and the inspectors. Okay. So you were represented by counsel, and your counsel got this order, but you were present and knew what the order was.
Right. I had counsel for like less than a week, but
you had counsel. You had counsel. That's all you need to say.
Well, I mean,
obviously you couldn't afford the counsel, and so he withdrew, but you had counsel.
Right, right, for that hearing, right. But I just got them literally like 2 or 3 days before, because I had hired counsel before that failed to file anything, and so I actually had to fire her and only had 2 days left or 3 days left, and Duke and Mitchell tried to put in for an extension because they had just got all this information and they weren't granted an extension. And yeah, the first attorney literally never produced, she was really nice and sympathetic and great listener, and never produced one piece of paperwork for me, and kept promising that she was going to, and just never did. And Brittany Gates was her name, but so I had a substitution of counsel, but they were handed the ball at the very last minute. They still put out, you know, tried to defend the action, and again, I had even offered, they had verified with me ahead of time if I was able to get the money from family to bring it current and to take over the monthly payments, was that an option? And I told them yes. You know, I talked to my family, they would do that. But I was denied that opportunity at court because my understanding was from Miss Virginia Story told my attorneys that because it was so far in arrears, that was no longer an option. And it was in arrears intentionally to take it away from me. And again, this was not a necessary plane crash. This was a strategic plane crash with a six-figure income to get rid of me and get me kicked out of the house without her having to pay any alimony and to get me out and to get me out of a property that I was equally deeded in. And she had no other way to do that without either a fair divorce settlement where she was going to have to pay me $20,000 a year for 6 years in alimony, or to somehow get rid of the home. And that's what she did. She got rid of the home. She burned everything up instead of paying me a penny of alimony. So she leveraged bankruptcy simply to get me out of the house. But I was never provided with any notice that anything was in arrear. I was given no opportunity to save everything I'd ever invested in my life. Every penny I had was in that house, and I was given no opportunity to save it whatsoever. And I mean, you could say I was given notice if you want to say 5 days before it was, you know, forced to be sold or something, but that's not notice as in, like, you can do something about it. It was, there was nothing I could do about it, period. You know, I've been through a foreclosure before, and in a foreclosure, they post in the paper both people's names that are on the deed, even in Tennessee.
What is your name?
My name's Jeff Fenton.
Okay, here is a certificate of service. I certify that on this, the 19th day of September, 2019, I served a copy of the debtor's expedited motion to sell real estate and personal property with order setting hearing in the following manner. Email by electronic case noticing went to Henry N. Okay, let's see. Debtor vote. Natalie Brown, Counsel of Bank of America, Juries 4, Counsel of Bancorp.
Everybody was involved in everything except me. I was never listed on the bankruptcy. I was never listed on notifications. I was never listed on anything. I mean, I don't even understand how they could have a hearing about the sale of even the contents of the property without me being there. Since they were,
okay. First of all, I can't be your lawyer.
I'm not asking you to be my lawyer.
Wait. Okay. It's my turn.
Okay.
For a minute, okay?
Okay.
Fine. If you are correct that you were an owner of this real estate, then I do not understand either how it was sold without your having being given notice by the bankruptcy court. And I'm looking here, and it doesn't look to me like you were. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. What would you? You called here for a reason. What was that reason?
To understand by what law or legal or how I'm about to write. I'm writing my appeal brief now, and I've never understood appeal of the divorce of the fact that they gave away my home. I wasn't given a penny. The fact that they put a order of protection against me that was never justified. I mean, my wife, she's got $10,000 in firearms. She's certified handgun instructor. She's, you know, there was never any violence. I have no priors at all. I mean, it was all fabricated to tie me down and to make it to where I couldn't talk to the lenders. I couldn't talk to anybody while they took every fucking thing I had. You know, I mean, it's just, I kid you not, it was all strategically planned. She knew a year ahead of time when her boss was going to retire. All of this was put off until that day, or until that was about to happen.
What, do you think that today that she has more than $10,000 worth of property that is not encumbered by debt?
Yeah, but that's not really my big beef is the fact that I lost everything that I had without, you know, that I even emailed her and asked her, you know, are you current on the mortgage? And she refused to respond. And then the court used the emails that I wrote asking her about that as harassing her and used that to justify an order of protection against me. I mean, it was absolutely ludicrous, you know.
I can't help you. I've given you the one answer that I know is accurate, and the answer is I do not know. I do not know how this property was sold without your getting notice, if you were, in fact, an owner of the property. One thing may be that the order of the Williamson County Chancery Court stating that the property was going to be sold, and you were present in the court and you were represented by counsel when that occurred, is the reason that you were not notified, because the Williamson County Court had ordered it. Therefore, that order was adopted by the bankruptcy court. That may be the answer. I am not accustomed to seeing property sold in bankruptcy when an owner is not notified. At the time of the sale, you were not divorced. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. But you were in the divorce proceeding. The divorce had been filed.
Yeah, they didn't talk about any of it. They didn't even hear any of that. They just, she filed it.
You told me, I'm reading an order of the court that Binkley put down, that Judge Binkley put down.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this property is going to be sold, and he specifically says go and hire an auctioneer.
That's, you know, for the attorneys,
There will be no reserve on the property.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
Okay. Why are you surprised it got sold?
What I'm saying is at that same hearing where Judge Binkley said that, I tried to save the property. I didn't find out about it before that hearing. I didn't know anything about the bankruptcy, the default. She came to that hearing saying that because of the bankruptcy and the default, I have to sell it. And so Binkley based his ruling on the federal bankruptcy. The bankruptcy is basing its ruling on Binkley. Nobody gave me a chance to save the property regardless. I was never, like, for example, when I had a foreclosure in the past, it was published in the paper, both of our names. Letters were sent to both of our names. We had months of opportunity to try to save the property, either one of us, whether we were on the mortgage or not. I was given no such opportunity. Basically, by doing a pre-foreclosure sale, I was robbed of my federal rights that I would have been afforded if it went to foreclosure. Does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't. And I don't know enough. I do not know enough to answer your question. My answer is I don't know. And I am not going to sit here and read all these docket entries.
I'm not trying to get you to.
If you're asking me questions about this, you're asking me to give you a knowledgeable answer.
Yeah.
And the answer is I have looked to the places that I know to look quickly to see, and I can't see where the bankruptcy court gave you notice of an auction. I cannot.
Now, okay.
I do not understand. I just don't. And
can you tell
that's
me
all I know to tell you.
Can you tell me what typically the procedure is for the bankruptcy court in that situation, with or without another court involved, as far as how they would handle selling a property if I wasn't on the mortgage? But I was on the deed.
I'm not going to get into it with you because I don't understand enough about the divorce, and I can look. The one thing I can look at, you were represented by counsel. You admit you were present in the courtroom, and the court ordered the property to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the answer to your question, but I don't know enough. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you what I know is the procedure for selling a piece of real estate in bankruptcy, because I think that the decision was made in the state court to sell it as part of your divorce. And then, because of the bankruptcy, it was necessary to get approval of the bankruptcy court to sell that piece of property, in addition to the order of the state court. I just don't know enough to answer your question, and I have taken a lot of time with you. I am a pretty patient person.
No, I appreciate your time. I'm just trying to understand the law and what was legal and how that happened. That's all
okay.
I'm trying to understand.
Let me give you a little advice.
Mm-hmm.
If you go talk to somebody else about this, don't talk about your constitutional rights. Because this isn't a constitutional case. It's not a violation of your constitutional rights. It's a violation of, if there is a violation at all, it's a violation of some statute. Because the law regarding the sale of real estate for debt in Tennessee and in the bankruptcy court is very old law. And if that law was violated, it was violated. But it's not a constitutional question.
I don't.
It's just not. And you need to focus on the fact that there are procedures for this. I don't do domestic relations work. I don't do it. I've never handled a divorce in my life. So I'm at a disadvantage here in trying to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But I have sold probably more real estate than any other bankruptcy trustee currently working today in the Middle District of Tennessee. And there are eight or nine of us. And I sell a lot of it. And I will say this. When I get ready to sell a piece of property, I go get a title search. And if the title search says the property is owned by the husband and wife, and only one is in bankruptcy, then I've got work to do in order to make that sale happen.
What does that mean?
It means that you cannot sell a piece of property owned by husband and wife and give title to it. The only thing there is for sale when property is owned by the husband and wife, and you are telling me you were not divorced at the time of the sale.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. You don't own half of that property if you are married. If it is titled to you and to your wife, you do not own half of that property. She does not own half of that property.
Right.
All either one of you own is the right to own all of the property in the event of the death of the other. That is your only saleable asset. And they don't sell for much. They're called survivorship interests. The most I've ever sold one for in my life, and most of my life has been devoted to bankruptcy, is $5,100.
I thought that you both own it in its entirety as it is,
no,
not just in.
You have no ownership interest in the season. You only own a right. The same is true for a car that's jointly titled. The same is true for your television set. If you go down and buy a television set and you bring it into the home where your wife lives, you do not own that television set. She does not own that television set. Under Tennessee law, you own the right to own it in the event of the death of your spouse.
That seems crazy.
That's the only ownership interest you have. And so you've got to be very careful around properties like that. There's something that happened in the domestic relations court which you don't know enough to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just completely walked completely all over your rights, but not your constitutional rights. Your rights under the statutes of the state of Tennessee, or perhaps under the bankruptcy code. That's where your problem is. But I can't answer your question because I don't have enough information. I'm sorry.
Okay. Where would you? Is there some place in the code that you would just point me to where I could start reading myself to try to understand? Because again, I don't have any money to hire an attorney, and it just...
And you are in an area of the law that is as difficult as tax. But write this down. 11 United States Code 363. And have a good nap, because it's a long statute, and you probably will not understand a great deal of it. But that's where you look.
Okay. So you...
But I do not, I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
My guess is that this was done correctly. I just don't understand what happened.
Okay.
And I'm not going to sit here and read all these docket entries to find out.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask you, I have given you a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I want a straight up answer from you. Does your wife have more than $10,000 worth of personal property that is not encumbered by debt?
That would be my guess, but I have not been able to communicate with her.
And what would the nature of that property be?
Personal property stuff that's, you know.
Personal property like what you said, guns a minute ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. She got guns?
Yeah.
A lot?
She has a fair amount. She's got, just for example, she put on there the gun safe. She put guns with the gun safe. I think she named it $1,500. That gun safe is the one I had in my bedroom. We paid $5,000 for it. So there's a lot of stuff I think might have got underestimated there. But, again, that's, I lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm really not that concerned with the $10,000 or $20,000 that she might be hiding, but it's just, you know, it's...
You don't get it. You just don't get it. I am concerned. I have given you a lot of... Concern.
No, I'm not trying to say... I'm not saying anything bad about you, sir. I'm not saying that you're not concerned. I'm not saying you haven't given me your time.
What I'm saying is I want to know the answer to my question. If she has assets she's not disclosing, I want to know about them.
I understand. I haven't been able to communicate with her for almost 2 years because of the order of protection. So, I mean, I really can't say what she does or doesn't have anymore. I really can't say. But it would be my guess that she has more than that. But I can't prove that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way. Believe me, after what I've been through, I'd like to, you know, get burn her or whatever as much as possible. But I'm not in a position to give answers on something I don't know.
Well, I don't understand either. Okay. I just don't understand what happened to you. I suspect that it worked correctly because people are very careful about real estate. But I can't tell you that it went the way it should. I cannot. I don't have enough information.
All right. Okay.
So, I gotta go.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Bye.
All right. Have a good weekend.